The epistle for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, understanding the time, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 21. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and when they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is nigh. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then the last Sunday was the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. This Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, the end of the liturgical year last Sunday, and the beginning of the liturgical year this Sunday. And these two Sundays are identical for the church. Last Sunday, we considered the end of the world and the last judgment. And this Sunday, we consider the end of the world and the last judgment. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, are the same. So the beginning of the liturgical year and the end of the liturgical year are the same. The Alpha and the Omega of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same. And so this Sunday, we have essentially the same gospel as last Sunday, and then St. Luke's version of this consideration of the end of the world, and essentially the same message as last Sunday. In the breviary, we say, "Behold, the judge is coming," and we prepare for the coming of the judge. And so that there's the consideration of the sacred breviary. So today, we'll do a repetition. It will be essentially the same sermon that I gave last week in the consideration of the end of the world, last week down in Phoenix. And a consideration here taken primarily from St. Francis de Sales. On what shall we be judged? All of us are coming close to the judgment. In the epistle of the Mass today, this judgment is referred to by St. Paul as the day. He says, "The night is far advanced and the day is at hand." When he says that word day, he says the word day of judgment. The day when everything comes to light and there is nothing more in the darkness, when there will be no more doubts, no more things shall be unknown. Many things are unseen and unknown in the night. But in the daytime, all things are seen and all things are known. And so the night is far advanced. Behold, the day is at hand. That's why the epistle was chosen for the Mass today, because it's consideration of the end of the world. In the life of St. Francis de Sales, there was a custom, a little feast, a local feast in the city of Padua, around the year 1600 or so. And it was similar to our April Fools. On this particular day, it was a custom of people to walk through the streets at night, to find some man walking in a dark alley and say, "Hey, who goes there?" And then to take a pistol and shoot it into the air to scare the man. And that would be the kind of joke that they would play on this day. And so this one particular year, around the year 1600, this young man was walking with his pistol looking for such a one in the streets. And he walked into the alley, into a particular alley. And he said, "Hey, who goes there?" And he shot his pistol. He thought he shot it into the air, but he shot the pistol before he lifted it into the air. And he killed the man. And realizing that he had just killed an innocent young man, and afraid that he would be put to death for murder, he ran away. And when the police were coming, he saw a nearby house, not too many blocks away from where he had done this, and he hid himself with a widow. And this widow, he told the widow what had happened, and the widow hid him. And a few minutes later, 15, 20 minutes later, the police came to the door of the widow. And they came to the widow and they said, "Your son has just been shot, your only son. We found him dead in the alley, only a few blocks away." And so the young man, after the police had left, told the widow that he was the man. "I was the one that shot your son. And it was an accident." And the widow forgave the son, or forgave the man. She forgave him and said, "Go on your way, I will say nothing." So she forgave him for killing her only son. And she was very distraught that her only son was taken from her. So she heard that St. Francis de Sales was about, and so she went to visit Francis de Sales. She went to visit him, and speaking to him, she said that "My son was shot, and this man came into my house and told the story." And St. Francis told her, "Because you have forgiven the man that shot your son, at the precise moment that you forgave him, at that moment God released his soul from purgatory, and he saved his soul and went straight to heaven." "What is the measure of judgment?" says St. Francis de Sales. "It is the charity that we exercise in this life, and it is the forgiveness of our neighbors." This man was already dead. He was going to suffer for a long time in purgatory for his sins. But because his mother forgave the one that shot him, at that moment his sins were wiped out because of her love. And so what is the measure of judgment? So a consideration of this teaching, primarily of St. Francis de Sales, and secondly of St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas tells us that when God created the world, this very first act, God looked upon the wretchedness of nothingness, says St. Thomas. He saw that in the beginning there is only God, and God, infinite goodness, infinite truth, infinite love and power and so on, and outside of him, nothing. And nothing is wretched. God looked upon it. What aspect of God came out from the Trinity and touched that nothingness? And St. Thomas says it was not his power, it was not his truth, it was not his other characteristics, it was only his love. His love came out from his Trinity, from his divinity, and it touched nothingness. And the result of that contact was the creation of the world. So that over 7 days it was created. It was the love of God that arranged the world exactly as it is. And so the first connection that all created things has to God is the connection of love. The love by which we receive the touch of the divine. Nothingness touched by God is the beautiful created world. And it is touched by his divine love. And love determines what has happened in this world. It is love that says that the sun will be 93 million miles away from the earth. It is love that determines the height of the mountains and the nature of the sea. It is the love of God that has arranged these things. It is the love that of God that is the measure of the natural world. And we say that the goddess of justice measures all things blindfolded and according to their true measure. Everything is measured equally. What is the measure of this universe? In its creation, we find, says St. Francis de Sales and St. Thomas Aquinas, that it is created by the divine love. And love is the measure. Love is the rule. St. John of the Cross used to say, how can we walk out into the world and open our eyes and not see the love of God? How can we do it? For to do such a thing, he says, requires great blindness. For it is the love of God that made everything. He used to require his novices, as part of their novitiate, to go out and spend an entire day looking at the trees. And he would say to his novices, St. John of the Cross would say, go and look at the tree, and look at the leaves, and look at the mountain, and find God. For his love is there. You must learn about his love. So the first measure is the measure of love. And then we consider the man, the sin of man, that he has greatly offended God with an infinite offense. And God has decreed, say the saints, that every man must be punished for his sin. And that requires an infinite punishment. But then what happens? The Son says to the Father, I will take on all the punishment upon myself. And why? Our Lord Jesus Christ told St. Mechtild back in the 1100s, I have taken on all my sins, or rather all the sins of the world, and I have taken them on for one reason alone, says Jesus Christ to St. Mechtild. I have taken them on for the love of souls, whom I see as my bride. It is love alone that has made me take these sins to myself. And I suffered for them, so that you do not have to suffer. For I do not want my bride, the souls of this world, to suffer. And this way of the cross was a dance to achieve my bride. It was love that was the measure of the passion. Love that was the reason for it. The love of the Father, the love of souls, the love of the Holy Ghost, the love of the Son. St. Thomas says, this is the second act of the divine love. The first act of divine love touched the world and created it and made it beautiful. The second act of the divine love made it more beautiful. And it was the act of redemption. And so now we have a new measure. There was the measure of natural love. Now there is the measure of supernatural love. And all things shall be judged according to this measure. And so how shall it be that we are going to be judged? A familiar story. There was a man, 40 years, married to a woman, beat her, drunken, an evil husband. Finally, he went and jumped off a bridge and committed suicide in despair. She had happily suffered for him over those 40 years and considered herself a happy spouse because she had such confidence that if she would embrace the torture of this husband, that God would give him the grace of repentance and he would save his soul and it would all be worth it. And she was greatly distraught, and so she went to St. John Vianney. And she spoke to St. John Vianney. My husband beat me for 40 years. He was a drunk for 40 years, and he went and committed suicide. I happily accepted it. Now he is judged and damned. And St. John Vianney says, he is judged indeed, but he is not damned. Our Lord heard your prayer. And between the bridge and the water, he made a perfect act of contrition. What is that act? It is an act of the divine love. And therefore, he saved his soul. What is the measure of his just judgment? A man that committed sins over 40 years, who lived constantly in sin and did not leave the state of sin and did not repent. At the end of his days, he made one act of divine love. And when he died a moment later, He went before the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his guardian devil pulled forth the thousands and thousands of sins and years spent as an enemy of God. And the good angel pulled forth one act of love. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the just judge, looked at the act of love and forgot all the sins. And that man saved his soul by the judgment of the just judge. We are going to be judged according to our charity, not according to our acts. And it is charity that makes everything make sense. There are certain things we do, but we do them because of love. And without love, they do not make sense. There are certain rubrics of love. Do we say of a husband, he is a good husband because he has not committed adultery? Is that enough to be a good husband? Or a good wife, they have not committed adultery. There are rubrics of love. Things that happen because you love. Things that we just do because we love. And this explains marriage. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and she wants ice cream. He goes and gets it. It's just what you do. He wants a cup of coffee. She gets it. It's just what happens. And what about the rubrics of supernatural love? There are certain things that we do simply because we love God, but it is only the love that matters. Such as when celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I hold my fingers like this after the consecration. Why? Because of love. It is because of the love of God, and because that is really Jesus Christ in that host, that I will not touch anything else with this thumb and forefinger until the end of the consecration, until the host has been consumed. They're just things that we do if we love. The rubrics of the church then make sense. Why do we have scapulars blessed? Why have rosaries blessed? What makes a car drive better after you bless it? They're just things that we do when we love. The church makes sense, seen through the eyes of charity, but it makes no sense if we use other eyes. We shall not be judged by our external acts, but by the love with which we do them. Which is why St. Louis de Montfort would say that when the Blessed Virgin Mary swept the floor, it was of greater value and worth to Jesus Christ than the martyrdom of all the martyrs. Because charity is the measure. And we are forgiven as we forgive others. That woman forgave the son, or the murderer of her son. Her son, in turn, was released from purgatory. And if we do not forgive our neighbors from our hearts, then we cannot expect to be forgiven. Remember the familiar words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is our law." And if we do not follow this law, we cannot expect a good judgment. And so let us try to follow the law of charity, which is the law of our faith. And to see things with good eyes, with a supernatural view, to look for the good and not the evil. A couple of other examples in the life of St. Francis de Sales before we close. Some people were scandalized at these women that were too vain during his day. And this one woman was seen to have too beautiful and too ostentatious of earrings. And she was a dirigee of St. Francis de Sales. And they said, "You let this woman come and speak to you, and she has one of your spiritual dirigees, and you allow this." And he said to them, "First of all, I did not notice that she had earrings, because that's not what I'm here to see. But if she does, is it such a bad thing Because if you'll read the book of Genesis, you will discover that Isaac gave earrings to Rebekah, and she wore them. And if Rebekah, a saint, can wear earrings, maybe my dear Jay can too. And then in another case, another woman had a cross, a large silver cross, which was studded completely with diamonds all about. And the other women in the church were angry at her complete vanity and ostentation. And so they came and complained to St. Francis de Sales. Look at this woman. She has this cross, silver studded, and with silver cross, all studded with diamonds throughout. It's entirely too ostentatious. And St. Francis responded, and he said, "The diamond is the most beautiful of all the gems on earth. What better use is there for a diamond than to array it in the form of our redemption? Let her be." And every time people would come with complaints to St. Francis de Sales, he would treat all of them in a similar way. It was difficult for him to see evil in all the complaints of the neighbors. He rather tried to form the good and to build the soul in the divine love and make love the measure of our supernatural life. We will not be judged because we have committed many sins. We will be judged because we have not loved enough. And if we have committed many sins and are guilty of much, then if we want to prepare for the judge, all we need to do is to increase and deepen our supernatural love. And then all our sins will be forgotten. And we'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.